It's always an honor to be given an opportunity to actually say anything to you all. I'm serious. It's an honor, and I'm very grateful for that honor. Jan and I have been here for 6 years now at the house, and you know, we've been transformed, changed, still being transformed, still being changed in the midst of the body of Christ here. Your role in the development and growth of Jan and I is not insignificant. We don't often realize that we have a role to play in each other's development, grace, encouragement, exhortation. We pour out on each other on a regular basis in this place, love and encouragement and honor in a way that you just walk out of here feeling clean and good. Have you ever had that experience? Just feel clean and good. Walk in, presence of God is everywhere. Presence of God is in everyone that I meet. Like, God is ready to leap out of these people around me and love me through Holy Spirit's words and encouragement. That's awesome. And so we've been incredibly blessed. One of the things that, as we have walked through process together, that I love doing with how things progress in this church is looking back maybe over 2 months to 3 months and just trying to get a handle on, Father, what are you saying? And what are you doing with us as a people? Where are you taking us? Because here's the deal. The coolest thing about God is that no matter where you are on or at in your journey, and we're all at different places. If we looked around here, there are babies who have just been born, right? Both in the spiritual, you're maybe a brand new Christian, and in the natural, right? No matter where you're at in the journey, you actually, when you come in, you get to be part of everybody's maturity level. You just get grace from everybody that you're with. So when Jamie Van Gelder gets up here and Nikki Van Gelder gets up here and they release God's words over us on a regular basis, no matter what they're preaching, it actually has application for you no matter where you're at. Is that not the craziest thing? Have you ever talked to people who you're like, totally different stratosphere of life, totally different place than where you were at, but you talk and you both heard God like he was reading my mail? Right? Like, how did that happen? So as I look back over the last few months, I feel like God has been relaying a foundation in all of us. And it's like a thicker foundation, like the foundation was already laid. And like he decided to go over it again. And let me tell you about faith without works is dead. How faith is perfected by action. How to overcome sin. How to go through trials. How to become authoritative. These are some of the messages that God's been laying in our midst. And this, I really believe this, like he's laying another foundation. And for me, in our neighborhood, the main thoroughfare all summer has been under construction. The whole summer. In fact, it's been annoying the whole summer because literally they were supposed to be done July 18th. But if you remember back to June, we had a bit of a deluge. So the deluge came right after they had taken off all the asphalt. So all of this mud and muck was just running down the road and creating a mess. They could hardly get anything done. Then they laid the gravel down, and then it rained again, and the gravel just all the way down the hill. So those poor guys are just like, what are we doing? Like, we work, and then everything gets undone. We work, and it gets all undone. So finally, they got to a place, and I've been observing them the whole summer. They got to a place where they could lay this layer of pavement, and the whole neighborhood was rejoicing. right? No more driving on dirt, no more dirty cars. We were all so grateful, except me. Well, no, I was grateful. I was really grateful. But I was like, there's something wrong. They had left about that much. You could tell they weren't done, but they laid this nice foundation. And I thought, no, I'm not satisfied, right? I'm like, this isn't finished. It's good where it's at, but it's not finished. And my heart was discontent with where the process, and then they left. And I'm like, what? They picked up all their machinery. Nothing was left. They picked up all the signs. I'm like, no, this isn't done. You can't stop. You can't go away. Come back. Come back. This isn't done. We waited 2 weeks. Then they came back, and they tore it up. And I just about pulled out the rest of my hair. I'm like, what are you doing? Cut holes. I mean, made a complete mess through that nice asphalt that they had laid 2 weeks previous, and they cut everything up. And I'm like, I get home from work, and I'm like, excuse me, Mr. Worker, can you tell me what you're doing? Why are we cutting up the foundations that you laid, and why were you gone for 2 weeks? I want to know. It's actually interesting, right? Like, if you apply this to the Lord, you're seeking the why. You're seeking understanding. So wisdom is knowing what to do. Understanding is knowing why to do what to do. I'm seeking understanding so that my heart can be at rest with the process. I don't know about laying roads. I just know I'm supposed to be on a finished nice road by July 18th, and it's August 8th. So they proceed to tell me, here's what's going on. We had all that water. Remember that in June? Oh, yeah, I do remember that. Well, we had to lay down a nice level of asphalt so that it would stop washing all of our stuff away. But we weren't done with the stuff underneath, but we had to keep that rock from moving. So we laid asphalt. And then it was easier for us to cut out holes to finish what we needed to do below than it was to redo that whole rock thing again. And I'm like, oh, well, that makes sense. I'm cool with that. Totally fine with that, as a matter of fact. Thank you for enlightening me. And then they proceeded to tell me the best news of all. We're probably going to lay that final layer tomorrow. I'm like, you are? That's going to be awesome. So sure enough, they laid that final layer Friday. And that whole road was complete. The foundation was laid. The thickness of that asphalt was really thick. And our road looks great. Now, here's why I'm saying all of that. I really feel like the Lord is under construction with our foundations so that he can lay really firm, deep, thick ones so that what's built on top of that would be immovable, unshakable, can't be shifted with any kind of movement underneath it. It's too deep. That thickness of the foundation, you can't be moved. Somebody comes and tells you, you know, God doesn't move today. He doesn't heal the sick. He doesn't. You're like, whoop, that's not bugging me. You don't have an argument good enough to prohibit me from watching the kingdom move at my hands. Right? Or somebody comes to you and says, you know, oh, I don't know what. Any number of things that will bug you. Oh, sickness, that's really a thing that God's giving people to test them and to try them. No, that's really not something that God gives anybody ever. He's good. He's not given somebody a bad thing. You might have had bad choices. The devil's definitely at work. There's sin in the world. But it's not from God's hand that sickness is coming. He's not the author of evil, period. So you can't shake that off of my foundation. No, it's not true. Right? The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his job description. So storms and wars and rumors of wars, none of that's in God's territory. That's in the enemy's camp. I'm not over there. And in fact, I've been put on the earth to actually help create through my words and my actions a place and a spot for God to land and to bring his kingdom on the earth as it is in heaven. There's none of that stuff in heaven. So that foundation's being laid thick so that when we encounter things that it's like, that's not God. Now, I love you who don't believe that yet. I'm not judging you. You can't actually trick me into judging you. Another foundation piece. I'm going to love you and pour out love on you no matter how dumb what you're saying is. You can't make me hate you. You can't make me, because I'm powerful in him and I am standing firm in him. So I'll love you. I'll bless you. I'll reveal God's goodness to you, and that's my foundation. Right? So he's laying foundations in us that are really healthy, because if you put these things together, and then you get others like you and me trying to walk together in that, look out. Who's going to really look out? The devil, who all of his tools right now are lies. He misrepresents you, me, God. That's all he has. That's it. If we believe it, we empower it. If we don't believe it, if we call him on it, we begin to remove it and demonstrate the kingdom, and we do it together. Uh-oh. The devil's found out. His lies are found out. His ways are found out. And he gets removed from that situation, because we have authority over all the works of the devil, because our Jesus who lives in us has destroyed them. He already did that. It's finished work. Finished work. We get to co-labor with Jesus to see that demonstrated in the earth. So our foundations are being laid really deep. And that's a really good thing. And if your foundations are in different places, like I have found in my own life, like in terms of how I think and where I'm at, I don't have a perfect foundation yet. Just don't. But I'm really approaching that point of being like, oh, I understand this deep in here, deep in here, and I am moving this thing forward together with those who are on that same page. Now, the reason I'm saying all that is if you want to, I really feel like that there are so many ways at the house that you can develop that foundation. Small groups, one of those ways, actually. Join a small group. Get with people who love God and spend time together. Small groups, great way. House School of Ministry really is going to lay a great foundation for you. If you're having gaps in your foundation anywhere, it will fill in those gaps for you. All right. Now, let me try to get to where we're actually going today. So for me, one of the epic moments of revelation happened a couple of weeks ago when Jamie talked about authority and the authority of the believer. And so I feel like it's a foundation even for what I'm going to talk about today. So without re-preaching what he preached, I want to remind you of 5 points. And then I'm going to launch into this. Okay? Point number one on authority. All authority originates with God. Okay? It originates from him, and he delegates it to people. He has it. He's the head of the church. Our Jesus is the head of the church. He gives it, his authority, to others for a purpose and a season. But it originates from him, number one. Number two, when the Lord gives authority to an individual, that individual must take responsibility for the thing that God is actually communicating. They must own what's being said. They must take responsibility for that authority to actually be worked out in a healthy way. You can't believe that you have authority, but then not take responsibility and act like it with whatever God has spoken for you to do. Important, okay? Number two. Number three, we're all sent ones, which is apostles. We all have grace to be apostolic, which Jamie defined as the word apostle was the word for a Roman general, and their responsibility with a city was to take the culture of Rome and acculturate that territory with the ways of Rome. It was their responsibility as a Roman general to do that. So we have grace within the sphere of authority that we've been given to actually acculturate that sphere of authority with the atmosphere of heaven. Your home is maybe the best place to say that. You have authority in your home to create the atmosphere of heaven. Melissa, oh, she's not here. She left. Melissa's testimony, I loved that. There she is. Hi, Melissa. Hi. What is the revelation that she's walking in? Oh, I'm going to begin at home doing this engaged thing. I'm going to pray for the sick at home. I'm going to practice at home so when I get out in the community, this is easy. I'm already doing it. And I'm going to see the results at home. I have authority here to actually release it, and I build courage and confidence in that environment and then take it out from there, right? So authority is given apostolically to create the atmosphere of heaven in the environment where you are located and your sphere of influence. Okay, and number four, stay within the boundaries of your authority, which is actually quite important. I'm going to talk more about this later, but if you're in an orchestra and you play the violin, and you're playing that thing great, and you're listening to the conductor, and the cello goes out of tune, is it your responsibility to tell the cello that they're not playing well right now? Not your deal. You, because you have been given a sphere of authority to play that violin really well, it's your job to play that thing with all your might, with all your heart, and become excellent at it, and not step outside of your boundary to tell somebody else that they're not doing the right thing. That would be the responsibility of the conductor, or maybe a fellow cello person next to you, elbowing you, saying, hey, play better. That's out of tune. You're causing me to sin because I can't stay in tune because you're out of tune. Right? So you play within the boundaries of your authority that God's given you, okay? And then number five, you have authority over whatever you create. And I just loved this too. We're co-creative with God. God is constantly giving us creative ideas and things to do. And whatever you create, you actually have responsibility and authority over. Nobody can actually take what you've created with God, co-creating with him, and say, I have authority over that thing. No, you don't. You don't. So it's an awesome thing to be creative with God and having authority over that. All right, now, something I never got to last night, which is opening your Bibles. To 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You have your Bibles. You can turn to there. I want to look at something here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 20. It says this, "For even as the body is one, and yet many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit." I want to stop there for a moment. Very important point here. When you give your life to Jesus, you are immediately in Him and immediately seated in heavenly places, and you are immediately baptized by Holy Spirit into His body. Whether you realize that or not at the time of baptism, that's all true. Or time of conversion, I should say. It's all true the moment you get saved. You get baptized into the body of Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but being in Christ and in heavenly places seems really safe and awesome because my Jesus is perfect and His heaven is perfect. There's not sin, sickness, death, hell. I love those two pieces awesome, right? I'm secure. My God is faithful completely and He's never let me down. But it's this baptism into the body of Christ that I'm not so sure about. Because when I look around, there are people that aren't completely yet mature in the body of Christ, and they could hurt me. Let's just be honest. They could hurt me. And in fact, you might have been hurt by people in the body over the course of your life because of whatever. You might have been hurt by them. So it's unsafe, but here's the deal. It wasn't my idea, and it wasn't your idea to get baptized into the body. It was God's idea, and He loves her. And He's committed to her to make that body without spot, wrinkle, blemish, or any such thing, perfect and holy. That's God. He's like, "I'm baptizing you, and don't worry," He says. "Don't worry. I'm going to give you all the tools you need to be a blessing to and to be blessed from the body of Christ. I'm going to give you tools like forgiveness. I'm going to give you tools like loving your enemy. I'm going to give you tools like praying for those who despitefully use you and persecute you." And those tools are actually tools to set you free in your own heart so that you can love. It's like what I was talking about before in terms of the foundation. You can't make me hate you. If you misunderstand me, if you misunderstand me and I did something and you're like, what did you do that for? And I'm not going to be offended by what you are actually misconstruing about me. No, if we need to talk, we will. Let's clarify what that is. And if I'm genuinely wrong in our conversation and the motives of my heart are exposed, and I go, "Oh, you know what? Bummer. I overstepped in what I said. Will you forgive me? You were right, and I was wrong." This is body health, but it's also community. It's what builds this body of Jesus Christ strong so that the joints, and we're going to continue to read here in a second, the joints can come together and mutually edify itself in love. The body is supposed to be connected through relationship so that we flow the goodness and the grace of God to each other, right? That's what we're designed for. And when we do that, wow, then the love of God, the fellowship of His Spirit, all of that hovers on us. I want to keep going here. I want to actually pause. You can keep your finger in 1 Corinthians 12, but I want to go over to 1 John 1:7. 1 John 1:7 says, "But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And actually, this scripture is amazing. You want to know how to walk in community with others, in fellowship with others? You begin by walking in the light with God. If you're walking with Him in the light, fellowship is a natural outworking with others immediately. Like, I have something to give, I'm full of love and life, and I'm actually in the journey with God. It's not that I've been perfected yet, but I'm walking in the light as He is in the light. The scripture says, we'll have fellowship with each other when that is happening. You want to know, like, how am I doing? Like, are you having fellowship with people? Are you connecting with people? Is that flow happening? And if it's not, the first step is walk in the light as He is in the light, and then fellowship is going to actually happen. Now, I like the word walk because it speaks of movement. It doesn't say stand in the light. God has finished His works from before time, but I'm telling you, He is in a process of moving you and me on a journey, and that journey means we've got to walk with Him in the light, becoming, hearing, moving in the things of the kingdom. And when we do that, we actually connect with people who are in that same journey. We have fellowship. Hi. We're meeting at Engage meetings. Hi. We're telling testimonies of what God is doing in the Engage meetings. Hi, it's really good to see you. And what's going on in your life? And we're connecting over vision and dreaming in the kingdom of God and expanding His goodness because we're walking in the light, we're having fellowship with each other, and good things are happening in the kingdom. Can you see that? Have you experienced that? When you walk in the light, you get fellowship with one another. The converse is also true. If you stop walking in the light, suddenly it's like, man, I haven't seen that person in a long time. Did God speak to that person to go to a different church? Or what happened? Ever had that experience? You have a relationship with people, and then suddenly they're not there. You're like, huh, bummer. First thing you should do, release mercy over that person. Bless them. Maybe hear from them. What's going on? Yeah, God told me to come over here, and I'm all like, great, praise the Lord, bless you, release you. Wanted to hear from you. You were part of the fellowship of the community that we were going with, and I didn't know where you went. So walking in the light, first step, super important, okay? Now, this is kind of tied in with this. This is where Jesus in John 15 14 and 15, He's turning to His disciples after being with them for 3 years, and Jesus says, you're my friends if you do what I command you to do. No longer do I call you slaves, for a slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. There's a significance about obedience that actually allows you to connect with people. Like, if you're obeying the Father, you actually get relationship with each other. If you're disobeying the Father, the relationships start to actually waver. The foundations of that aren't so very good. The positioning of where God wants you to be and what He's processing you into, if you're not following hard after that and doing that and actually graduating your seasons and understanding where you're at this moment in time, well, if you're not doing all of that, then the relationships that you're in will actually start to waver, because they're like expecting something from you in relationship to hear the King and His kingdom being through you, and they're not getting it. They're not sure why. But they want to, because they love you. They've already positioned their hearts to love you. But we literally don't have fellowship with each other when we don't continue to obey His voice. There's a breakdown that happens. So important to walk in the light, important to obey the voice of your Master, Jesus, and important to walk that out then together. All right, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You kept your finger there. I love this part. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body, is it for this reason any the less a part of the body? And if the ear says, well, because I'm an eye, because I'm not an eye, I am not a part of the body, is it not for this reason any the less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. I want to reread one little section here. It says, but now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. I want to ask you a question. How does God place you and me in his body? Does that just happen? Like, we don't have to do anything, we just show up, and here we are, we're placed in his body. Is that how that works? Here's the deal. I haven't pulled out my favorite Jesus picture yet. I'm just going to do that for you. This is the happy Jesus. Teresa Dedman did this. For those of you who know her, our Jesus gets to place us in the body according to the purpose for which he created us. Remember I said you have authority over whatever you create? Jesus created you and me. He made us. And when he made us, he said, I have authority over your life. And the good news is, I didn't make junk. I made you awesome. But if you don't know the purpose for which you were created or your calling, you're going to be tempted to do the wrong thing and it won't turn out well for you. So I need you to know what I created you for. Who is the one who can tell you what you were created for? Now, can people contribute and see with God prophetically, like, wow, you are the most amazing artist I have ever met? Travis, I love your picture, by the way. Come on, right? That awesome? Travis, awesome. That is an incredible gift. You're graced with that gift. You actually contribute to the whole body of Christ through the gift that God has given you, and you give it willingly to us so that we're ministered to. Ministers right into your spirit. You look at that thing, you're like, whew, hallelujah. Right? It's God is the only one who can tell you who you are and what he created you to do. The great news is he's totally willing, right? He wants to tell you. He wants to show you. He wants to help you know what your purpose is in him. Many of us, we don't ask long enough or hard enough of him, who am I? What have you called me to do? And watch this. What have you called me to do right now? Conversation with God, you ask him the right questions, you'll get the right answers. It's really important to ask him the right questions so that you get the right answers. And then begin to put yourself in that place of who am I? And then, Lord, you baptized me into this body. How do I connect in community with who I am? Right? This is cool. This is a great journey. And how do I do it right now? Because your seasons will change. That's the other thing. You need to know calling and what season are you in? When you get born again, the moment you get born again, you have access to the full riches of the kingdom. Do you have a clue what to do with those at that moment? No, you don't know what to do yet with that. But are you an heir and a joint heir with Jesus at that moment? Yes, but you are a baby, and a baby is great and lovely and lovable. And so we kiss the baby, and we hug and love on the baby. And we declare that that baby is so sweet and we receive grace from that baby. Baby's good. Baby's a good place. If you are a baby, the Lord gives you a picture of a baby. That's great. Don't panic. Don't go, been walking with the Lord for 80 years. And now I'm depressed. No, thank you, Lord. I'll receive that. What else? What do you mean? What are you saying? Pursue that thing with the Lord. Because you want to know how to connect and give grace to the people around you through who you are. Now, if you're in a season of transition, of change, or of preparation for something, and the Lord shows you, you're being prepared. Are you yet walking fully in the thing that you were called to do yet? Yes or no? No. Is that part of the journey, though? Yes, it's part of the journey. Walk the journey. But if you live anachronistically, which is a big word, which means you get revelation about who you're going to be. Joseph in the Bible, probably the best example of this. He's at 17 years old, and he sees what he's going to be. And it's way before he's actually called to be that. And then he runs his mouth about it. And then he has trouble as a result of it. Should have been quiet, should have waited. Anyway, what his brothers meant for evil, God turned to good, right? He learned a lot through the lesson. It's like redeemable if you blow it. It is redeemable. But it's nice for us to know the season and the window of time that we're in so that we function in the mode of preparation or of execution. If it's time to actually do the thing God's called you to do, don't hesitate. It's time to move to do that thing. Right? This is Christian maturity, but here's the crazy part for me. God sets the members together the way that he desires. And the way that he does that is by you and me pursuing him for what is our role at this season with the people who are around us. Or the vision that God has given to us. So when Jamie Van Gelder gets this, he talks to the elders and he's like, I'm really feeling like we need to fast and pray. There's something we need to hear from the Lord for how to reach the river valley. Would you fast and pray with me? Sure, we'll fast and pray. We fast and pray. God speaks to Jamie about engage. He's like, ding, ding, ding. God spoke to me really clearly. I'm so excited. Like, really, what's that? Speaks the vision of engage. And my heart just goes, oh, psh, that's it. Clear. Clear as day. That's God. Totally God. Wow, it's simple. It's doable. It's the whole body rising up to do the work of the ministry. It's encouraging one another. It's doing communion. It's testimonies. It's actually movement-oriented and it's outreach-oriented, but then sharing together the glorious success stories of the kingdom of God at your hands and coming together to fellowship and to love on each other. I was just like, woo, that's it. That's workable. That's doable. This is easy. We can reach the whole river valley if we just do that in 5 years. One person, each week, 1,000 workers. It's a vision. It's clear. I didn't get that. That didn't come from the Lord to me. Kind of an important point. So when I connect with Engage, I'm like supporting what God is doing through somebody else, and I'm walking into that because I hear God. God goes like, yep, that's me. Like, fantastic. Am I supposed to connect with it? And I have to work out. You have to work out. How do I connect with that thing? You have to talk to the Lord about it. So this whole thing we've been talking about with the school of ministry, engaging his face over, are you supposed to come or not? Same thing all the time with how we relate to each other so that community can be continually moving forward together to fulfill, and you part of it, to fulfill what God is saying and doing at this moment in time in you and in others who are in your life because God's put them in your life. So 6 years ago, Jan and I, we were happily in a beautiful other church, totally happy in another church. And our friends came into that church and made me jealous, like in God, like Holy Spirit on me, like telling me the testimonies of what happens in children's ministry. That's how I got hooked. Like, what? You've got to be kidding me. Nathaniel and Amy White were prophesying over every single kid all the time. And I didn't have a grid for prophecy the way that we have prophecy here. No grid for that. I had a grid for the word of the Lord and prophetic utterance. I was charismatic. I believed in that stuff. But I had some pretty honestly wonky thinking toward that stuff 6 years ago. But I wanted God's voice. I wanted it through people. I knew he was speaking through people. And so when they testified to me that they were prophesying over every kid in the back and the prophecies were incredible, I'm like, what? I want that. I do, I want that. And Holy Spirit's tugging on my heart. And I'm like, my only problem is I don't know anybody there except you guys. And I think that the Olsons are going to be going there too. But I don't know anybody. I don't know Jamie Van Gelder. But what was I hearing? I was hearing God. I was hearing Jesus woo me to a place. Now, we got here. We spent about 9 months here. And the Lord, as he often does, gives my wife a dream. And she wakes up and says to me, Jim, the Lord's speaking to me that we're dining, not dating. Like we're eating good food, but we're not in a relationship with the house. And I'm like, oh, that means my heart has to change. I have to reorient where my heart is toward the place. And it took me a while. I have way more baggage than most people. Sorry, that's just true. But the Lord's been unloading me. Praise the Lord. Somebody give the Lord a clap, Arvin. Thank you, Jesus, for unloading Jim of all of his baggage. Thank you. So it took me a while. But I was in the process. I kept eating. I kept hearing the voice of the Lord. But then there came this point where the Lord's like, connect. And I had to make a choice to step across that threshold of connecting with the body of believers here that Jesus had actually told me to come join. I had to tell the pastor who I was friends with, I need to go to a different church. And, you know, that's a little bit of a, I like you, you've discipled me, I love you, and Holy Spirit's taking me and Jesus is taking me over here. And so that was, it was actually a very easy conversation, to be honest. Went out to lunch with he and his wife, Jan and I, and he blessed us and said, be free. Go. And we went and we began to connect here. But then after 9 months of being here, then our hearts had to actually make a transition into I'm on with what God is saying here and the process that people are going through as a people here. I'm on for that. For this season. Because if the Lord shows up in my bedroom tomorrow and says it's time to go, I'm going to have a choice, right? My heart's going to scream one way, and then I'm going to have another conversation with him. You need to tell me why. But if he does, I have to, right? You have to, right? It's important. But while we're in a place, we're fully on. And we're actually completely contributing to what God is calling that place to be and to do with who we are and the gift that we bring. So, can I pick on you for a second, Dan? Hardly a choice, right? He's sitting here. I'm going to pick on him. Dan is a very gifted keyboardist. And he contributes, I've noticed more and more, on a regular basis to our overall worship experience, and he's made choices to contribute that gift to us regularly. And he's just faithful in it. Like, I can do this, I have a talent, and I'm going to serve the body with my talent. And all the worship leaders seem to like him. Have you noticed that? He's on every worship team. Every single one. Why? his dad's great. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'm here to play keys. Well, I'd like you to do that. I can do that. My skill and my talent, I can do that. Wow, Dan, you're great at that. Thank you for doing that. Makes my leadership stuff, if I'm a worship leader, smooth sailing. What's his heart? Like, I'm going to give my gift. I'm not leading or facilitating worship, but I'm going to facilitate with my heart to the Lord my gift. I'm going to play that violin while somebody else is the conductor, and I am going to contribute to the overall experience in this season that I'm at for the whole good of the body. Right? So if everybody is a leader, which you are, lead yourself. Husbands, lead your families. Wives, be good. Be good leaders. Wives, pray to Jesus that they're good leaders. Right? Trust the Lord. And I'm telling you, there's a lot there. I'm not going there. There's a lot there. Not going there. But we trust and we lead ourselves effectively by submitting to our master's voice. But if everybody is leading something, and we don't have a unified overall vision of where this hooks in, there's nowhere, not one of us, that can lead something without somebody helping us to do the thing that God's called us to do. So if you're a worship leader, you need Dan. You need a band. You need other people who will come and contribute their skill sets for that purpose. You're not leading but you're playing your particular thing with the best, excellent growth, grace that you can possibly muster. You're just doing that thing better and better and better and serving the overall good. This is what Jesus is connecting us for. This is what Jesus is connecting us for. He has an overall good called the earth that he's going to take, that he is coming back for, a bride without spot, wrinkle, and blemish, that is actually fully displayed the gospel of the kingdom to every single man, woman, and child on the planet. He's going to come and say, well done, good and faithful church, who you are beautiful, spotless, wrinkleless, and blemishless. I love you. And well done on the earth, demonstrating my glory and my goodness. But you've done it together because you've heard who you are. You've submitted who you are to who others are. You fit in together and you get the grace of whoever the leader is of that thing. You get that grace on your life and you get to be developed and protected and covered and blessed in that place while you're there at a heart level. If you connect at a heart level, then you get all the blessing, the goodness, and the grace of what God is calling even the worship leader to or the pastor to or whatever that is, you get all of that. And you actually get developed in who you are, in your season of where you're at. Does that make sense? All right, can you stand up? Thanks, Dan. I saw a picture last night of a mop that was mopping a foundation, actually. And while it mopped the foundation, the depth of that foundation was going deeper, like it was becoming thicker. But there was a cleaning off of that surface. And I believe that the Lord wants to heal people from experiences with the body of Christ that have caused them to withhold or draw back in terms of giving who they are to the body of Christ. That pain actually has has caused them to not fully release who they are. They don't trust because of pain and hurt. And you don't fully give or connect with the body because of the pain and the hurt. Does that make sense? So, Holy Spirit is the one who heals because of the blood of Jesus, because of the finished work of Jesus. Holy Spirit, who lives on the inside of you, He's going to heal that place. I believe He's going to do it right now. He's going to take that place of hurt in your heart where it could be a brother or a sister who has hurt you, who has pigeonholed you in a place where you're like, I am more than that, and you don't see me. But you're going to be able to release forgiveness. Could be worse than that. Could be somebody who's literally, they're so focused on their own calling that they haven't built or developed or blessed you in who you are and where you're going, and you feel or have felt in the past used or abused, and you're going to actually be able to forgive and release forgiveness over those people right now. So I just want you to close your eyes. And you probably know the people that have hurt you in the body. And I want you to begin in your heart to the Lord to present them and to forgive them so that you can connect with the body of Christ. So just, Father, I just release forgiveness right now in Jesus' name over the congregation. Lord, a grace to forgive and now a grace to heal. Lord, healing would be released in the heart all across the room. Right now, in Jesus' name, healing by the Spirit of God in the heart, that strength would now come in the heart. Foundations would go deep right now as you mop that place, as you clean that place up, Holy Spirit. Whew, you're submitting your heart to the Holy Spirit. He's cleaning that place up in your heart. Now, Father, I just thank you. I declare healing deep, and I declare foundations deep in the heart of people, and a grace now to connect with the people that they're to connect with at this time. I saw a picture of a pathway, actually. It was like a path from feet to feet, where there has not been paths to connect. I see paths forming to connect people and places and regions. We just declare a path in front of your feet to connect you to a walkway, a foundation place to walk into relationship and fellowship and purpose and destiny and community together. I see pathways just sprouting out in front of your feet, pathways to be walked on into relationship that's significant, meaningful, full of kingdom purposes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just thank you for connecting people, the body of Christ, here locally and globally. And we bless that process in Jesus' name. And everybody said, now I'm just going to bless you. May the Lord bless you. Put your hands out. Just receive from Him. May the Lord bless you. And may He keep you. May He make you, His face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May He lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. In Jesus' name.